Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Your time is up.
That was good though.
Cool. That was really good. I can't even lie. That was really good.
Chris was coming hard today, yo. She
coming hard. Welcome to That Would Bang Podcast, a podcast where we talk, debate, and banter about the content we watch that week.
But it doesn't stop there. Not only do we discuss these shows, but we also come up with our own alternative storylines for them too. I'm your co-host, Adesi.
And I'm your co-host, Patricia.
And we hope you enjoy the show. Just a quick note, there might be a few spoilers in this episode, so beware. Otherwise, kick back, relax, and enjoy. Hello everyone, welcome to the first episode of the That Would Bang podcast. My name is Adesi.
And I'm Patricia Devere.
And we are your hosts of the show. Patricia and I met in university. We studied the same degree.
And we had a radio show.
We did.
It's lit.
It is lit. But we have a wonderful guest with us. He also attended university with us.
Mm-hmm. got there by the skin of my teeth.
Got the skin by the skin of my teeth. And his name is...
Jerome, aka JT. Some people know me as the High Street Hunter. What else? That's me. That's me.
So guys, what did you watch this week?
Ladies first, so one of you two.
Okay, Patricia, what did you watch this week?
All right, so I tried to start watching The Queen's Gambit and I did not like the first episode. I thought it was really boring.
Okay.
So I'm currently watching Schitt's Creek, which, I don't know, I keep comparing it to Modern Family and it's not living up to my expectations right now, but I'm going to keep going with it.
I agree, to be honest. I didn't like Schitt's Creek. I think I understand why people would, just not a fan. Modern Family has my heart. Cam... Phil, Dunphy, Claire, all of them amazing people, beautiful characters. Queen's Gambit, I think you should watch it to the end. Just give it a chance. It's like 8 episodes. Like, what?
Oh, is that it?
That's
just
it.
It's just one season.
Wow. Literally.
Pistol, you got nothing to lose, I'll be honest.
I'll try it. Just because everyone keeps saying good things, so I'm going to give it a little bit more time. But she's just playing chess in a basement with old men. I'm just like, what the hell? She's taking bare pills.
Yeah, it follows her journey from life. It talks about substance abuse.
Okay.
Not just taking
pills.
Sorry, can I just ask?
You said it's in the 50s, right?
50s, right? Yeah.
50, sorry. Mm. What pills were they taking in? They didn't have Zans and...
Tranquilizers.
What? So like, oh, they're basically taking Ket.
Is it?
Yeah, because Ket is that... I heard Ket is that horse tranquilizer.
Yeah, like that, basically.
Why are you looking at me?
As if Patricia is like, I'm gonna know.
sorry.
Yeah, because they're like in an orphanage, and like all the girls are given, they're given two pills. One's red and one's green, right?
Yeah.
And one's a tranquilizer.
One's tranquilizer. One's a vitamin. They just say it's vitamins, but it's a bit dodged. Like
she
it messes them up.
Really high on it.
Wait, given the pills by who? The teachers.
The teacher. Mm-hmm. The school is messy. It's an orphanage. Like it's really dodgy. So I think you should watch it.
No, do you know what? I really trust your recommendations. I'm not gonna lie. Like, remember you told me to watch Little Fires Everywhere?
Yeah.
Bro, I thought, what the hell is this? I finished that in, I think, 2 days.
Really?
Banged through it.
I haven't watched it yet.
I watched Little Fires Everywhere.
Pistol is good.
I think I have good recommendations, personally. I'll tell you the truth. Queen's Gambit, decent. I wouldn't say wow. The world is saying wow, but I also just think the world is looking for an escape right now.
Okay.
And that's why they're loving Queen's Gambit. I've been watching Sister, Sister.
Oh,
because it's on Netflix now.
Yeah, and Girlfriends. I never watched Girlfriends when it was out initially.
What's Girlfriends? I thought like I saw the I scrolled over it on Netflix yesterday. Is the picture of 4 black girls or 5 black girls?
Yeah. So it's Tracy Ellis Ross and some other people I don't know. But that was such a bad introduction. But it's literally just I think it's just a show about just being a black woman, and I get the jokes now. But I know that if I was like 12 and I was watching it, I would not have understood what was going on.
Or there are loads of like sexual innuendos and things like that.
Sexual innuendos, but also just situations that are happening to us now that you would have never thought about. When you're 12, you're like, oh my gosh, like what? But now it's like, ooh, this is juicy.
Ooh, that's relatable.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a kind of like a Sex in the City, but just with black women.
Exactly. That's okay. That's what it is.
That sounds
That's
lit,
actually
though.
A really good pitch.
That sounds
Mate, I'm going to watch that.
That's what it is. But the thing is, so, like, the issue, you know, shows that are from like the 90s or early 2000s, they always have that like laughing track, like that.
The fake
laughter. But I think with girlfriends, it's like they've muted it. So it comes on like half hearted. So it's like, haha. And then it stops. And it just kills them.
A little weird. It kills them.
So how are you enjoying the show when it's like that?
I don't know.
Just ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But Sister, I can't lie, that show is very funny.
Mm.
It has aged very well. And it's not like, I thought it was going to be a bit cringe. Like, because I used to love The Proud Family. Didn't
yes.
I? And yeah. I watched it recently. I was like, it doesn't slap the same way. The theme tune's amazing. But the actual show itself is like, this is for children.
Mm.
Whereas Sister, consistent. They've actually done very well.
I'm not going to lie. I didn't. All of these shows I never watched growing up.
What, not
like I have not watched The Proud Family, Girlfriends, Sister. I feel quite ashamed to say it, which is why I really want to go back and watch them.
Watch it.
So yeah, that's next.
Do you know I find that interesting, P? Because you have an older sibling.
Yeah.
So I thought maybe your older sibling would put you on to them sort of shows, because that's the only reason I feel like I was watching the one-on-ones and obviously you watch My Wife and Kids.
Yeah, I did watch that.
Do you know what I mean? Them sort of shows because of my older sisters, really.
I don't know what happened.
Did you have Trouble? Remember that channel?
No, I don't know the channel Trouble.
What?
Guys.
Did you have the Skybox?
No.
Oh, this is your problem.
That's the problem. I was one of those kids that barely had Sky growing up.
View.
Yeah. Mm. It was long. It was actually long.
Are you a Freeview guy?
We had everything. I remember we used to have one weird box. We just used to call it cable. I don't know. It was just like a weird black box, yeah, with like the time in red. It was so weird, but it had like Fox Kids, it had Disney Channel, it had everything. Then we moved to Sky for a bit. Obviously, it got too expensive. You get rid of that.
Yeah,
then we moved to like Virgin and Freeview. We've had everything, to be honest.
Wow.
So I was able to watch a lot. Nice. So it was. Sorry, I don't mean to rub that salt in your wounds.
No.
But
cool. It's all right. Also, I did watch Emily in Paris.
No. Oh.
Did you guys watch that?
I did not like that show.
Is this
you
on Netflix?
Like it? It is.
That was the most trending show for at least 4 weeks on Netflix. People were tweeting about it. It's basically about this American girl who goes to Paris and she's so ignorant. She doesn't speak any French and everyone wants to have sex with her. It doesn't make...
Oh my God, yeah. It's so stupid. But it was a guilty pleasure. Like I actually enjoyed watching it.
Speaking of guilty pleasures, sorry Peter, to cut you.
No, that's cool.
I think that's a good question before we start, because I really want to say what my TV guilty pleasure is right now. You lot will be so shocked.
What's your guilty pleasure?
There's one show on BBC, yeah, called Angels of the North, yeah.
Is it good?
And it's about a hair salon.
In Liverpool?
In Newcastle. Oh my days. It's so, like, you know, when I'm watching it, I'll get invested in their life to the point where I care about things that are so relevant. Like, one of them will have a date and they'll be talking to the other girls on the shop floor about, yeah, I'm going to go on this date. And I'll be thinking, I hope the date goes well, man. Like, the show is good. It's so weird because it's so normal. It's like about nothing in reality, innit? It's just their normal lives. Some of them get pregnant. Some of them do that. But it's, I don't know, but I love it. And it's so weird. I never thought I would. I think I'm changing.
I've seen it on BBC Three a couple of times, but I just didn't. I didn't.
So you wouldn't like it, man. You genuinely don't care about it.
I know I would do. Okay, guys. So today we are talking about the film called Rocks by Teresa Ikoko. And it's a film that I genuinely loved. Did you guys like it? Like,
I loved it. I really thought it was so good. I watched it twice. I cried both times. I think it's exceptional, personally.
I agree with P. Mate. And I think it was just great because I didn't go to a girls' school. I went to all-boys school. Mm. So that whole experience, I've only got to live through it through conversations with like my missus or my sisters or my female friends, yeah. But watching it was just, because I was watching it with my missus. So as we're watching it, she's telling me, oh my God, we used to do that. Like, this actually used to happen and it's making me more invested and feel like the film is true to life, innit?
Yeah.
And everybody likes authenticity. So I thought it was a sick film and it was a great depiction of London young girl culture, if you know what I mean.
Exactly. Wait, Patricia, can you just say what Rocks is about, actually, to anyone who doesn't know?
Yeah, so basically Rocks is about, well, it's about Rocks and her younger brother Emmanuel. And one day their mum goes missing, essentially, and she only leaves a note and an envelope full of cash. And it's basically how Rox fends with her younger brother, Emmanuel, and how she depends on her friends. And all the while, they're just basically trying to keep social services away from them, basically.
Yeah.
So,
and I think I think the reason why this story is so important as a whole is just because I feel like I know people that this has happened to.
For real?
On like the Rock story is like, I know this story personally. Like I've seen people have this situation where let's say that their parents just are working or something's happened and they have to look after their siblings and social services gets involved and that's just how your whole life is turned upside down. And I think I liked it because as much as it was serious, there was just so much banter.
Was so yeah funny.
They had like a good energy, like their friendship group. Like they would just randomly like start dancing and their jokes were actually funny.
So funny. That like it was just so, it was just such a feel good. I love films that are able to tackle really serious themes and just make, still give that film a feel good factor. Like that's a hard line to kind of, do you know what I mean? It's a hard thing to balance, but I think they struck the balance perfectly.
Yeah, I think it's even the little thing. I think the humor came from the small thing. Like, do you remember when the teacher was telling all the girls, like he was literally just telling them what to do, and then one girl had the sunglasses on. That's how she came into class. Do you not see that? Like,
yeah, on the stairs.
In girls' schools, there's a teacher always on the stairs correcting everyone's uniform.
Oh, yeah, I remember the part you were talking
about. So when
your
skirt is too short or something, then one girl, she's literally walking in with sunglasses. Like, you know that's not allowed. Why are you doing it? Do you not remember that?
I remember that part.
Yeah, I remember that part, but I didn't know that that was normal in a girls' school. That's like to have someone there checking your uniform.
Literally, because I went to a girls' school and if your skirt was too short, they'd bring out like a ruler and be like, guys, your skirts are too short, or you have earrings, there's piercings, take it out. Like everything was literally being policed straight away.
Every day.
That's mad. Yeah,
like days or assembly days, or just if there's that teacher, you know, the person who just hasn't got anything else to do with their lives.
That's
miserable.
You know?
But yeah, but did you guys relate to anything in the film?
That's a good question, you know? I think my perspective on it is always going to be a bit different, simply just because I'm a guy at the end of the day, innit? So that younger experience is very different from that young man experience. But I feel like because we come from the same sort of areas, I was able to relate to just the way they talk, even their banter. Like, that was one of my favourite things about the film, because I've obviously never been in a girl group. So I don't know what sort of banter girl groups really have.
But isn't it similar to boy
it's so
banter?
Similar. Like the way they'll stick it on their teacher, just just funny stuff. Like, so I could relate to just their energy, their vibe, if you know what I mean.
You know when they're talking to their teachers and like there was a point where one of the girls like, are you on your period, sir?
Yeah. Yeah. He was so offended.
But that response was the most genuine response. that's offensive. That we.
And he went on a whole tirade. Oh my God.
Were you guys that kid in school? Did it not give you throwback? Were you rude? Jerome, were you rude?
I was a good you in school.
I
was good.
That.
I was, yeah.
I believe it.
Good you. I'm just not a rude person, innit?
Okay.
But I only get in trouble for that, like, talking too much. But if I got in trouble when I felt like I shouldn't have been in trouble, then I'll tell the teacher. Do you know what I mean? But I'll never be rude though. I had too much respect.
I feel like you were the student that would want to be friends with the teacher. Like, to avoid doing work.
Souls, you hear what this girl's saying?
That no, the teacher's pet. Do you think it's a teacher's
pet?
No.
You know, there's always that student that will just talk about the teacher's life.
And oh, like chat to the teacher.
Yeah, and then
no,
you wouldn't do
right.
any work.
Well, you can read people like that, yeah?
Of course. You would be the one that would be like, oh, so what did you do the weekend? And then it would just be a long conversation and you wouldn't do any work.
I could do that still. I could actually do that.
Wow. I love those people. Wow.
You need them. You need someone like that in the class. Oh, my days. Mate. You need that.
I don't know. Secondary school, I didn't enjoy secondary school. At the time, I didn't know I didn't enjoy it. But as I'm comparing it to the rest of my life, I didn't enjoy secondary school.
So what was it like watching Rocks for you then? Was you like, I don't know what words to use without making it sound too deep. I wouldn't say resentful that you didn't have that experience, but do you know what I mean?
No, because we still had that experience. Like, I think it definitely showed an inner city London experience, definitely. Mm. But I still related to a lot of the things, or even just the conversations that you have or the things that they do. Like, I definitely understood where it was going, what was happening. But I think it was just one of those things. I appreciated it, if that makes sense. Because I know people that would have gone through the experience, but even though it wasn't mine personally, it felt authentic. It felt like a documentary. It didn't even feel like
That's
a film.
I think they did an open casting for that film. Because my friend lives in Hackney and she said that her sister almost went to it. But she was the one that told me that they did an open casting for it. And I feel like that's even nicer, because it's just like, it just adds to the genuineness, you know?
And the fact it gave opportunity to probably a lot of young budding actors who may not have agents or something like that. They just really thought, you know, I want to try my hand at it. And I think you can kind of see that in the actual film, like especially her Somalian best friend. Sorry, I forgot her name.
Somaya is
one of the sickest actors. It's like she was just there and someone just put a camera on. And she was just being herself the whole time.
Yeah.
But that added so much to the film. Do you know what I mean?
It definitely did. And even like, because they're not actors. They're actors now. But when they shot the film, they weren't actors. Mm. And Teresa Okoko, because I was watching like interviews and stuff, apparently the girls would message her and literally say like, oh, this film would be so much better if there were real actors involved. Like, they felt so insecure because they weren't professional. They didn't know that. I don't know how to describe it. When you're doing it, you don't know your ability. Mm-hmm. It's just amazing to see the response. And I just hope this really launches their career.
What's the word for that? Yeah. Did they have like imposter syndrome or something?
Yeah, exactly. Probably was imposter syndrome. Like, you literally come from school. You're still in secondary school. Next thing you know, you're on a movie set with a bunch of directors and all these people. Like, I can imagine it's intimidating.
Massive culture shock.
Wow. Was there anything that you didn't like about the film or anything that stood out to you as a whole?
Didn't like is like a strong sentiment. But okay. The ending, which I think is provides good opportunity for you two, the ending, oh my days, man. I don't know, man. The ending made sense. Do you know what I mean? And it was a nice kind of feel-good ending. But because I liked the film so much, I just wanted to know more.
Mm.
Maybe they might do a number two or something. I don't know how they'll do it, but I wanted to know more, man.
I feel like for that reason is why I love the film. Mm. I felt like the ending was just so perfect because I felt like life just doesn't have neat endings, and I felt like the ending really articulated that.
Deep. That's the real English literature coming out. <isn't it? laughs>
I don't even want a part two. Like, I thought it was really sad, but it was just like such a calm ending. Like, it felt like Rox had like come, she was at peace. It was sad the way it came about, but it just felt like, do you know what? Emmanuel is, I've seen him happy and I know he'll be okay. And I felt like that was the moment that she kind of let go. And that's an ending in itself.
It's true. Life goes on at the end of the day, man. And that's what it's true.
Do you know what? I tried to cry, but I watched the film with my mom. Oh. And my mom, do you know, this is why I remember smiling. I said, watch it with my mom. But let me tell you, like, this one I realized there's generational differences with how we see situations. Because from the minute, I was like, mom, this film's going to be so sick. It's amazing. From the minute it turned on, and there was Snapchat and the camera was shaky. I was like, what's the meaning of this? And my mom's commentary on everything, she's just like, why would the mother leave her? No mother should ever do that. I was just like, mom, no, there's so much more to this. Yeah. And it's just about, like, I feel like she wasn't given, she didn't, because this is like an art house film. And I feel like if you enter it with a commercial 100%. Lens, you don't understand it.
Yeah.
And that's what I think. But
100%. Literally, it's like what I was telling you like yesterday about like Rotten Tomatoes and how when I watched that Saint Maud film, Rotten Tomatoes said it'll be 99 and I thought it was 1 out of 100. That's simply because when I watched it, I just weren't in the mood for that artistic lens. But the good thing about Rox is that I didn't know it was like an art house film.
To be honest, I don't think it is fully, but I can understand it has, because in comparison to any other film that you see that's mainstream or Black British that you've seen, it was definitely more artistic. The way it's shot, it's even shape, it feels like a documentary.
100%.
So yeah, that's my opinion on it.
You didn't say if there's anything you disliked you about it.
Anything I disliked? To be honest, I like the film as a, I think as a whole, it did very well. And I don't think there's anything I would have changed about it because it's the film that we needed.
Yeah.
When you say white souls, what do you mean? Yeah, yeah. What do you mean?
I mean that for a long time, Black British people have been saying all the films we see is about knife crime. All the films we see about gun and this and that. We never see any Black women in films that aren't crazy. And this is, it was just real, very authentic. And I think that she just laid the groundwork to show that we can have normal stories.
100%.
Like this same thing could have happened to a white person and we would watch it. Do you know what I mean? And I feel like it's just, it's the breath of fresh air. And I think it's like a watershed moment that just allows for so many more films like this to be made.
Well, you reckon it's that impactful, yeah?
Do you guys not think so?
I think so, yeah.
I do, but I've only thought about it now that you said it. Do you know what I mean? After I finished watching it, I didn't look at it through that lens of comparing it to like other Black British films. I just, do you know what I mean? I just took it in isolation. But when you do look at it like that, I feel like you have to look at it the way you put it. Do you know what I mean?
Definitely. I don't know. I just think we're in an age where Black British content is going to get so much better. Like this is definitely, it's raised the bar. Personally, I think it's the best Black British thing that I've seen. But obviously people will compare it to like Blue Story and all these different things. But this is the genre I like. I like good vibes. And it was just, it was nice. It was sweet. And so I haven't got anything I'd change about it. I think that's why I'm, the next section of the podcast is going to be pretty difficult for
me.
Yeah.
Oh
mate,
my God.
Mate, it's going to be difficult for you too, I'll be honest.
It's going to be difficult. But I think it's a bit of fun, isn't it? It's just what we'd say if certain things didn't happen, what could have happened.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We're moving on to the second half of the podcast, where Adesi and I take a scene from the show and come up with our own versions of what should have happened. Our guests will pick their favourite, and you guys can join in using the hashtag TWBpod.
Okay, so the part that we're focusing on today, or the alternative storyline that we're coming up with, is from the middle of the film, where Rox and her brother have been fending for themselves and have been avoiding their flat, and Miss Booker, their teacher, knocks on the door to see how she is. So, Patricia, you're going first this time.
Oh, my God.
I went first last time.
No, you lot should do a rock, paper, scissors.
There we go. Let's go. Okay, so my pitch is going to be Mrs. Booker knocking on the door, but Rox does answer. Rox's teacher, Mrs. Booker, knocks on the door and then on the window when she gets no answer. She's worried and calls out in desperation. Rox is inside debating what to do before deciding to open the door. Emmanuel is in the bedroom taking a nap. Mrs. Booker follows Rox into the living room, taking in the half-eaten dishes and dirty plates. She screws her nose up because the room smells a little musty. Mrs. Booker, concerned, asks what's been going on and why she hasn't been at school. There's a long pause because Rox isn't sure she can trust Mrs. Booker. She eventually breaks down and admits that she doesn't know where her mum is, that all she has is a note and barely any money left. Mrs. Booker hugs her and they share a tender moment together. But then Mrs. Booker ruins it when she whispers that she needs to call someone. Rox can't stay here alone looking after Emmanuel. Rox spirals into an outburst, betrayed, yelling that she can't do that because she doesn't want to be separated from her brother. At that moment, Emmanuel walks into the room, having just woken from his nap. Mrs. Booker takes him in and makes a critical decision in that moment. She says Rox and Emmanuel can stay with her for a bit while she tries to find their mum, so they pack a bag and go to hers. As the day goes by, Emmanuel and Rox feel more and more like family and feels comfortable having them around. She starts to put in less effort trying to find their mum. Meanwhile, social services are continuing to apply pressure.
That was good. You told the story really well, and I was really able to, like, what's the word? Envision it. Sorry, yeah. That was good.
So you like it? I can't lie, Patricia.
That was really good.
It was sick. It was flowing well.
That was really good.
Thank you.
Wow.
Go on, Souls, you're up, mate. 2 minutes.
So, in my storyline, Miss Booker knocks on the door and there's no response. Yeah? Is that clear?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Rox hasn't been to school for a few days and her teacher, Miss Booker, has started to notice. After dance class, she asks the mayor about her whereabouts but gets nothing. So she decides to go to Rox's house to investigate. We're outside Rox's flat and Miss Booker knocks on the door, but no one answers. Instead, her nosy neighbour opens the door, assuming that Miss Booker is related or something, and decides to spill the tea about the kids. Upon hearing the news, Miss Booker writes her phone number on an envelope containing £20 and slides it through the letterbox. Meanwhile, Rox and her brother have been tiptoeing around the estate, avoiding the eyes of her neighbours and the social. She comes home and finds the envelope but doesn't call Miss Booker. Instead, she uses the money to pay for gas and electricity. The next day at school, Miss Booker asks Samaya to get Rox to come in. It takes a bit of convincing, considering the argument that the girls had had, but Samaya swallows her pride, rallies up her friends, and comes up with a plan on the bus home from school. That night, they go home and steal leftovers from their houses and ask their mum to cook traditional dishes. They carry their sleeping bags and food and meet outside Rox's flat. They knock on the front door, but no one answers. Samaya has a feeling that Emmanuel's home alone. She does a special knock on the door and he opens it, clocking that it's her. He says that Rox is out buying groceries. The girls excitedly rush into the house and set up all the food banquet style. They turn off the lights and go silent as they hear Rox approach the door. She enters and they yell, "Surprise!" But she bursts into tears in complete shock. The girls laugh, catch up, and make her feel like herself again. But suddenly, there's a banging at the door. It's the police. The neighbour called, reporting a noise complaint from underage minors. That's my story. That's my pitch.
That was good.
We'll leave it
there. I really like both the pitches because I feel like, from me listening, I'm going to be able to like bring up different themes that I don't know if you lot thought about them on purpose, but some things spring to mind. But Souls, that was good as well. Great timing. great pitch. What's the word? Great tone.
Great tone.
Yeah, I liked both of them.
Thank you. So, Jerome,
mm-hmm.
You've heard both of our pitches. You've heard what we think could have potentially happened in the film. There's completely two different storylines completely. What do you think? What are your thoughts?
I really like them. I think in terms of similarities, I like the fact that they both showed that she got help from people she cared about. Do you know what I mean? Like, well, in yours especially, P, I like the fact that it was the teacher. I don't want to bring up race and stuff. You sure?
Go for it.
But I just like the fact that it was the black teacher. Because you know in school, depending on what school you went to, there was always that maybe that one or two or three black teachers that you knew genuinely cared about you. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And Miss Booker definitely seems like that teacher in the school. So just the fact that she was the one that loved Rox enough to be like, you know what, Rox, you can come. Wait, she came to stay with. She let them stay. But then what happened after that? We don't know. But yeah, I like that. The fact that it was that sort of person, that figure, that really became the mother figure to Rox and looked after her and her and her little brother. And then with Souls, your one, I like the fact that it really showed that community spirit. Do you know what I mean? Because that's something that nowadays, especially in like inner city London, some people might feel like it's kind of dwindling, like it's not really there anymore. But just the fact that she had her friends, and then on top of that, her friends' mums, at the end of the day, owe nothing to Rox. Like, at the end of the day, they didn't abandon Rox. They don't have to be the ones that have to go and look after her or give her money or do this. Really came together and helped her. And then on top of that, your ending seemed realistic.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Because P, with your one, yeah, mm-hmm. I was looking at it thinking, all right, cool. The teacher's looking after these two, but in reality, does that happen? Because it's like, is it seen as like a conflict of interest for teachers to be looking after pupils and things like that? And I'm sure you thought about these things as well. Do you know what I mean?
It's techie. It came across my mind.
It's techie.
But I feel like that's what kind of adds to the drama because she knows that's something that she shouldn't have done. It felt like her moral duty to do it. Like he said, she was a teacher that actually cared for her students mm-hmm. and she hated to see Rox and Emmanuel so vulnerable. Mm. And so it was kind of this conflict of
risking your career.
Yeah, risking your career for like something that you actually care about and something that you wanted to do.
Sorry to keep making similarities, but I think both of your stories just show the distrust we have for like certain institutions or institution in general.
The system.
Maybe that's because of who we are, where we sit within society. But the fact that in both the kind of groups, no one wants Rox to be with social services.
Yeah.
And if you deep the situation, this is literally, how old is she? 14? 15. A 15-year-old girl and her 6-7-year-old brother or whatever, fending for themselves.
But why do you think that is though? Sorry. Like, why?
I think it's because, okay, I think as black people,
there's
just certain things that it's an unspoken rule that, you know, it's not that it's us and them, but it's like, you know, that people don't have your best interest at heart.
Mm.
And as much as they say that they do, you know, when push comes to shove, that you will be the first one to be kicked to the curb.
100%. Right.
And I think as a community, we know that. And I think that's what it shows so clearly in the film, Rocks, to be honest.
But Souls, was that part of your thought process when you came to make up your ending, if you know what I mean?
Yeah, because I wanted to show that, oh my gosh, Jerome, you're asking good questions. I like this. I wanted to show that the neighbor was the op in that situation because she's the one that called the police and she called the social services. And it's those ones that it's like, as much as you're friendly with people and you show them that like they act like they care, you know, when the nitty gritty comes down to it, they're not on your side. She didn't even like, because even in the film, she didn't even try and like fully interact or get involved. Like it was very much a nosiness. It wasn't like a I care about you. It's like, oh, what's going on there? And I wanted to show that in my storyline.
I have a question though for your pitch.
Yes, let's go for it.
So you know when like all the students, they're asking their parents to cook a dish, was that like at any point did the parents be like, why am I doing this, is Rocks okay? Because like
well, I just saw it as them. I don't even think they explicitly told their mums what they were cooking it for. They're just like, oh mum, can I take this from this, or oh mum, there's leftover this, can I take this? And I think they all just wanted to do their part, because like, remember, their goal was to just get Rocks to come to school and to like listen to what Miss Booker has to say.
It what wasn't was she gonna say?
I don't know. I don't know what she was gonna say. No, she probably, in all honesty, she would probably had to call social services, but at least it would have been willingly with background information and all that kind of stuff. So that's how I saw it.
And P, remember the question that you asked Souls about the distrust? Where do you think it comes from?
I feel like it's what Adesola said, because I feel like a lot of people will relate to sort of your parents having to leave the house and they're just like, don't open the door to anyone and you'll be left at home having to look after your siblings or whatever. But I feel like it's just a distrust thing. I feel like when you're like seen as the other in society, I feel like you're just overly protective of your own. And I feel like that means keeping outsiders away. Like, not only are social services kind of like an institution, but they're, it can easily be seen as a sort of intrusive thing, like they're gonna know too much about us, our family dynamic. And when you come from a family that requires the children to have to be independent, like if your parent has to work extra hours or they're really busy, you kind of have to do certain things that might go against what social services says, expect. And it's just like, it doesn't make you a bad mother, but it's just like, this is the situation.
This is your reality.
I have to be able to leave my kids alone and trust that they'll be independent. But I'm sorry that that's against the state rules, but what else am I going to do as a parent?
It's the reality of a lot of black kids, 100%. To be honest. Like, it's not, it's just one of those things that maybe it's an African thing, but just in the fact, like, what happens in our house stays in our house, and you're not here to go and tell everyone what's going on. Exactly. So, wow, man,
you don't show everyone your dirty laundry, as they
exactly,
say,
you know exactly.
But no, this is going to be so hard for me to choose. You know, I'm not going to lie, because I feel like it depends just on the way you look at it. In terms of realism, I feel like Souls, your one is a lot more realistic. Do you know what I mean? And Pete, in terms of maybe feel good wanting to watch. Yours, do you know what I mean? Okay. But what are my metrics?
So before Jerome picks his favorite pitch, you have 10 seconds to say why he should pick you. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Your clock starts now.
I feel like you should pick mine because I get across all the key themes, but with some extra drama and some spice. You get the friendship, you get the trust, the mistrust.
Your time is up.
That was good though.
Cool. That was really good. I can't even lie. That was really good.
Chris was coming hard today, yo. She's coming hard.
All right.
Go on, Adesi.
Okay, let's go.
Right. 10 seconds from now.
Jerome, I think you should pick mine because I feel like it was authentic and it was in line with the film. It gave a real and honest perspective. And I love the aspect of sisterhood. Sisterhood
All
is
right,
what the film...
time's up, baby. You were getting very comfortable.
I was. I can't even lie. I can't lie. I was doing my slow speed. Oh, my. I should have been faster.
She wanted that 10 seconds to end. She thought, nah, this girl's getting ahead of steam, mate. Let me stop this.
So, JT, you've heard.
This is so hard, man.
You've heard us. What do you think? Who are you picking?
This is so hard. I want to watch both, man. But do you know what? Yeah. The one I would want to watch more. have to give it to Peace.
I know it.
I'd have to give it to Peace.
Oh my gosh.
P, congratulations.
Congrats.
You lot both smashed it. Don't get me wrong. Like, I actually want to see both of that. But I think with P, I think she was lucky in the sense that she had her answer in the door. Yeah. Whereas your narrative was a bit closer to what actually happened, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
So I obviously want to see, like, oh, something completely different. Like, I'd love to see, I don't know what country Miss Booker's from. Maybe she's from the Caribbean. What it would be like her looking after two Nige kids and that. Mm. Maybe having to make pound of jam and that. Do you know what I'm saying? That would be sick to watch. But no, you lot smashed that. I can't lie, man.
Thank
Souls,
you.
Commiserations.
That's all right.
P, congratulations.
This guy's a kind judge. You're so kind.
Remember
so
I said kind. I was brutal? No, I'm probably not brutal.
No, you're not. Patricia, you know what? Props to you. You are the winner.
So what am I? Storytime queen.
Storytime queen. You
are. For now. Souls, you got another chance.
My bubble. No. I didn't even have the victory for like 2 minutes. Okay.
Patricia, you are Storytime queen of the week. We give you props to you. Everyone, thank round you, of
thank
applause.
You, thank you. Thank you.
Well done. You genuinely deserve it. All right, guys. So that's it for this episode of That Would Bang. We hope you enjoyed it. I enjoyed it.
I really enjoyed it because I won.
Because you won.
Yeah, but this was a good chat.
It was a great chat.
You were a great judge.
Thank you.
Okay, guys. So that's it for this episode of That Would Bang podcast. As you can see, Patricia is the winner. So we're happy about that. If you liked what you heard, make sure you give us a 5-star rating and drop a cheeky review. It helps us.
Yeah. And if you have any suggestions on the film or TV show that we should discuss next week, then you can also comment that and let us know.
You can follow me at Adi Adesi on Instagram and on Twitter.
And you can follow me at _PDVR on Instagram and _PDVR on Twitter.
You are that person with the most difficult handles.
No, but it was taken on Instagram. I had to do 2 underscores.
It's all right. It's all right.
It sounds good though. It's got it rolls off the tongue.
Does it?
Thank
yeah.
you.
_PDVR, right?
Yeah, fam.
_
Chill.
And we cannot forget our brilliant judge.
Thank you.
JT, plug yourself.
Thank you. So you can find me on Instagram at @JT_HighStreetHunter. YouTube as well, WMTV, that's the channel that I run at the moment, the home of independent fashion.
Love it.
But yeah, man. Guys, thank you so much for having me, man. This was sick. You lot onto some real money here, you know.
Oi, oi. Until next week. See you later. Bye.
Peace.
That's it for today's episode, guys. We hope you enjoyed it, and if you did, follow us at the TWB Pod on Instagram and Twitter. Or you can join in the conversation using the hashtag TWBPod.
If you like what you heard, follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Acast app, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you love what you heard, drop a rating and a cheeky review.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.